Growing businesses and finance professionals, you need Bill Spend and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software. It's powered by the Bill Divvy Corporate Card, which helps growing companies scale with credit lines of $500 to $15 million, automated expense reports, and as many virtual cards as you need. For a limited time, get $500 when you get started with Bill Spend and Expense. Request a demo at bill.com/get500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank, member FDIC.
The Chicago Bulls head into their final 18 games of the season with tons of reasons for optimism, especially after the team's recent play. But on today's episode, I'm going to talk about one of the biggest Achilles heels for the Chicago Bulls for the remainder of the season and definitely heading into the postseason. We're also going to take a look at the Lonzo Ball injury update and how that could impact or change the Chicago Bulls free agent and offseason plans. And lastly, we're going to preview the game against the Dallas Mavericks. We're going to get into all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. My name is Hayes, but make sure you guys are following the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that being said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today. So the Bulls have played really well, and I don't want to take away from any way of how well they've been playing. I've talked so much about the growth of Kobe White, the growth of Ayo Dosunmu, right? How Ernolat Batum is getting minutes and things like that, right? How DeMar DeRozan has been find a way to fit in, really adapt to this game, and going back to the king of the fourth quarter here recently more times than not. And the team's overall play is now putting the team in a place where they're viewed at a lot. I've seen more articles the last few days over how the Chicago Bulls can be a playoff surprise team and things like that, which, you know, just even a month ago, it was mainly with the major outlets were writing about the Chicago Bulls were negative. Not that the major outlets matter, because they really don't. You know, it is what it is. But, you know, the Bulls have done a lot to kind of change the mindset around them. And after the loss to the Detroit Pistons, which was kind of a breaking point for a lot of people in you know, their hopes for the Chicago Bulls, they've kind of reinvigorated those hopes with their recent play, going 3-1 over the road trip, 4-2 in their last six, things like that. The Bulls have been playing well. You don't want to take away from that. Their performance in the clutch leaves so much room for optimism as well, especially heading into like playoff atmosphere type games and the play-in tournament, things like that. But there's one thing with the Chicago Bulls team that I think sticks out as a negative more than anything. It could definitely be something that hurts the Chicago Bulls, and that is the Chicago Bulls bench production. The Chicago Bulls have the lowest point per game total than for any bench in the NBA at 26.6. Now, around that area with them, though, are other playoff teams, right? Boston Celtics, the Denver Nuggets. Those teams also have benches that don't rank really high in the bench production per game as far as points per game, right? But we know that those teams as well are extremely top-heavy and have that superstar talent, so that kind of makes sense, right? The New York Knicks, the Boston Celtics, these are all teams that are hovering around the Chicago Bulls. Now, the Bulls, I will say, do average at most 2 points per game less than those teams, but you know, those are some teams that you do look at and say, hey, their bench doesn't necessarily produce a whole hell of a lot either on a consistent basis. But then you want to add some color to that. For example, the Chicago Bulls plus minus on the season, as far as bench scoring, is the worst in the NBA. And then also their overall plus minus is also negative 29. Like, the differentials, bad, right? Everything that when you look at almost every bench metric that you can look at, the Chicago Bulls measure it towards the bottom of that, outside of some teams that, of course, Detroit Pistons have an overall worse plus minus from their bench. But again, they are a way worse team than San Antonio Spurs do as well. But the Bulls aren't that too far off from those teams, and that raises signs for concern for in other ways as well, right? So the Bulls have a bench that is not producing. They've scored the least amount of points off their bench. Them and the Phoenix Suns are only separated by 55 points. So there you go there. But the Bulls are worse than them. And this is something that you definitely have to look at. We're not bringing the defense off the bench either than other teams do. So when you look at it, some of the teams also that have worse kind of points totals, which no team does. We scored the least amount of points. We scored the least amount of points per game. But some of those teams towards the bottom, they have like similar differentials to the Bulls. Those are teams that have way better defensive units coming off the Bulls, way more consistent. But there are reasons why, right? And I don't want to act like this is something just in a silo that's bad. There are reasons why the Chicago Bulls are bad off the bench. Clearly, when you look at it, injuries are a big part of that. You have two players coming that are in your starting lineup now, and Alex Caruso and Ayo Dosunmu, that are originally slated to be on your bench. And those are are two players that are producing both double-digit points per outputs per game. So that hurts, right? They're both really good defenders as well, and getting out in transition, causing more possessions for teams. Those are really big portions of that. Those two players are in the starting lineup. So there are definitely reasons for that. We are operating even thinner than what we expected to. Patrick Williams being out, regardless if he was going to start or come off the bench. Torrey Craig's coming back, who clearly can help with that some as well, when I think, you know, once he gets fully back in things. But then you also have to look at the things that are in the Bulls' control. The rotations from Billy Donovan leave a lot to be desired for. Now, again, when you're working with a thinner bench, it's going to make some sense. But for example, Andre Drummond's averaging 17 minutes per game. Javon Carter, who's played bad largely throughout most of the season, playing better here over the last few games, averaging 13.6 minutes per game. Ernie Lapetite, who's just recently joined your team as far as a full-time status after the trade deadline, he's averaging 12 minutes per game, 9.9 for Dalen Terry, 7.4 for Julian Phillips, and then you have some other players sprinkled in and out of there, right? So the Bulls right now, I think their bench rotation, I think with the right mix, that they can up that a little bit of the, as far as the production, that we can get a solid play off our bench. But I think it's really going to take Billy Donovan to take a hard look at this team as we go forward into these last 18 games in the play-in play and ask yourself, like, who on this bench deserves those minutes? And that may not come. Let's be clear. That may not change anytime soon because, you know, there are politics involved in basketball. And Javon Carter getting the guaranteed money that he has up for basically for 3 years, because he's probably guaranteed to pick up that player option in the third year. They're going to play minutes. They're going to hope that he's going to get out of this slump that he's been in, which, like I said, got to give him credit. Last three games have been really solid for Javon Carter overall, especially defensively. Had some spotty shooting, especially in the last game against the Clippers. But the Bulls wins, he's been playing pretty good in, right? So, but it's really up to Billy Donovan to find that mix, to get something different out. But overall, the biggest reason why this is something that I wanted to start off with, because this is more likely not going to change until the Bulls do something this offseason. It's just not going to. I don't think that there's enough time over the last 18 games of the season to really fix something that's kind of just, it's a result based on how your season has gone with injuries and things like that. So overall, the Bulls definitely need more shooting. I won't say that they need a ton of scoring off the bench. Like, you don't, I mean, a scorer could help, but they need some shooting. We need some shooting overall in the roster. And I think getting players that understand their role could be a big part, but we'll see how the Bulls go to fix that. But let me know what you guys think, because I think the starting lineup is solid. We've seen now the chemistry work with Caruso and Ayo in that starting lineup with Kobe, DeMar, and Vooch. I think they've worked out a pretty good balance. Andre Drummond also is a really big piece for the Chicago Bulls. I wish, you know, Billy Donovan played him a little bit more, especially in certain matchups. But I just think that this bench is something that I look at and I say, if we face off against some of the deeper teams in the play-in, right, it could get a little ugly for the Chicago Bulls. But let me know. Maybe I'm tripping. Let me know what you guys think on that down below. But all right, let's get into the next one. Now, this was something I dropped in an emergency episode, both on the podcast and YouTube on yesterday. And that was that Lonzo Ball was cleared for advanced rehab activities. Now, the Hoops Supply or something like that originally tweeted out kind of misquoted Casey Johnson and said that he was cleared for advanced basketball activities, which then gave a lot of people hope that just wasn't there. He's been cleared for advanced rehab activities, which is still very controlled. He's still not going to be a full participant in practice. He's still not taking true contact, anything like that. They're probably going to be doing some things where they have him kind of bouncing off pads here and there, where somebody's holding those pads as he's like trying to get to the lane, simulating kind of that contact, but being still very light in it. Now, it is a big step for Lonzo. He's trying to do something that historically has never been done. Lonzo Ball would be the first NBA player to make a return from cartilage replacement surgery. So let's be clear on that. And I also want to point out, too, that this is still a long way away from being cleared for actual basketball activity. So, no, this is not guaranteed he's going to be cleared by the start of the season. No, this is not guaranteed he's going to be able to make a comeback. It's just a really nice step in that direction. But the Bulls now have some decisions that they need to make as this thing progresses on, right? I said it before, kind of my thought process is, if Lonzo is not fully cleared by the draft, you might as well file for the career-ending injury exception, to make sure that you're going to get it, to make sure that if it is approved, that you get it early enough. That's my personal opinion. I know a lot of Bulls fans want to see some humanity to Lonzo Ball, and here's what I'll say. You gave him humanity. You didn't file it last year when you should have, when it would have all been guaranteed, because the moment they announced he was not going to come back this season, that almost would have guaranteed the career-ending injury exception be approved. So, with that said, the Bulls have already done that. And this is not to say, I know that the Bulls fans want to see Lonzo Ball back, but you got to keep in mind, that even if Lonzo Ball is returned, he's going to be on a heavy minutes restriction. He's not going to be the player that he was when he left. Coming back after, he's going to be out 2 years and 9 months by the time he makes his return. That's almost 3 years away from the game of basketball. He is not going to be the same player right away. And if the Bulls are committed to winning again next year, which they've already shown, that's kind of what they want to do. They want to get pieces in here that are going to help the Chicago Bulls win basketball games. And if that's the focus, you got to put yourself in that position because you're set up to lose a lot of players that actually are contributing on the court. But that's again. So I think that that's the way that the Bulls should look at it. But let's say this. Let's say Lonzo Ball, on the flip side of that, is cleared and he's ready to go. How is that going to change the Chicago Bulls' plans? And here's what I'll say. Even Lonzo Ball on a minutes restriction and kind of finding his way back, as long as that shooting is something that is legit for him when he comes back, if he gets that shooting stroke down right away and he can get back to that 40% three-point shooter that he was, that's going to be big for the Chicago Bulls. Here's what I'll say. Lonzo Ball coming back is better than Javon Carter. And that is something that you have to look at and what that's going to be on the bench. Now, for some Bulls fans, I've seen the comments that say, oh, well, boom, Lonzo's going to come back. We're going to be a top four team in the East. Imagine the starting backcourt of Lonzo and Kobe. That's not happening. And the Bulls have already fooled themselves once, hoping that Lonzo's return was going to be something that it was never going to be anyway, when they initially, in that first year after him, was betting on him being able to return back by that January, and he ends up being out for another year and a half after that. So I think that the Bulls have to really look and evaluate that, and they have to ask themselves, is the production that you're expecting from Lonzo Ball, that you realistically can expect from somebody who's been gone from basketball as long as he's been gone for, is that going to be worth the $20 million, or do you file that career-ending injury exception? But, like I said, if he is medically cleared by the start of the draft, you're not going to file that career-ending injury exception anyway, and that's something the Bulls also have to weigh. They're not going to get it if he's medically cleared. They're not going to give it to you just because they're not going to play. I think there is a situation that they would look at it and say, is there a chance he's going to play more games than not? It's like a number of games barrier on that, and maybe there's a chance, even if he is medically cleared, that the Bulls can get it approved. But then at that point, if he plays over a certain amount of games during the season for any team, not just the Chicago Bulls, that money would come back on the Bulls' books. So that's something to look out for as well. So just to make it clear on that, the something happened similar with the Timberwolves with Brandon Roy when Brandon Roy made a return. I think it was with the it was Darius Miles who had that career-ending injury exception file, and then he ended up coming back, and I think he played right at the number of games, and that money went back on the books. I believe that was it. It was him or Brandon Roy. So that's something that the Bulls have to weigh. But how would that change the Bulls' offseason? And either way, if the Bulls do file the career-ending injury exception for Lonzo, it changes their offseason, and since you now have $20 million added to your books, and that gives you more leeway under the luxury tax to maybe retain DeMar, or maybe retain Andre Drummond, to maybe do something more creative. And I think we always kind of look at cap space that it has to be used for free agents. That's not the only way that cap space is valuable to a team. You can take on salary without really sending anything but maybe some future heavily protected seconds back, and then you're basically getting a player technically for free at that point, right? So that's one way that it can be used. Another way, of course, is in free agency, and that is. Now, if he is cleared too early in that they're not going to file the career-ending injury exception, the Bulls then have to look at themselves and ask, what type of roster are we trying to build going forward? How much risk do we want to take with this? Not just with the Lonzo aspect of it, because then you are getting at least a shooter that can defend, that's going to play probably not back-to-back and be on a heavy minutes restriction for at least that whole season. Probably the whole season. So it's a question that the front office has to ask themselves. And it's a situation that it's not as easy as some Bulls fans make it out to be. It's not as easy as some pundits. It's probably not even going to be as easy to determine as what the front office may think is going to be to determine. But it's overall positive for Lonzo Ball, for sure, that he is making the progress to get back on the basketball court and to keep trying to achieve his dream of playing basketball in the NBA, right? But outside of that, there is a business aspect and there's a roster aspect and there's a price that the Bulls have to pay for that outside of just the contract. And that's where the Bulls have to ask themselves what they're going to do next with Lonzo, cleared or not. But let me know what you guys think on that down below. All right, let's get into the preview for today. We do have a game today against the Dallas Mavericks, the Bulls who are riding, I think they're 5-5 over the last 10, something like that. And the Bulls, the Bulls have been playing better than not lately, right? And, you know, you want to try to do, if you can, avoid another clutch game, if you can, for the Chicago Bulls. But this is the Dallas Mavericks team that's coming in with a very potent offense, right? The Dallas Mavericks right now on the season have the fifth best offense in the NBA, averaging 119 points per game. They're doing that on the 12th best three-point shooting percentage in the entire NBA at 3.7 attempts per game. and they have that second best 3-point shooting percentage in 40% from the field, from 3-point range. Do the Dallas Mavericks shoot it? So again, they take 37.3 3-pointers per game. They hit that at a 40% clip. That means that that's one of the Bulls' biggest Achilles heels. That's one of the Bulls' biggest shortcomings is how they defend the 3-point line. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Bulls can, if they can avoid allowing the huge gap from 3-point, production from the Dallas Mavericks to what we get. Now, one thing as well that the Dallas Mavericks are the 10th best team at getting to the free throw line. They average 23 free throws per game. Now, a lot of that is because of Luka Doncic and his whining, but it is what it is there. So the Bulls got to look out for that. 3-point shooting, getting to the free throw line. Those are two things that are very efficient parts of offense. If you can make the 3-point at a high percentage, which they do, and get to the free throw line a lot, that means that your defense has to be ready to go. And that's what they have to be locked in. Now, how can they be locked in? The Dallas Mavericks, while posting some very impressive offensive numbers, are the 8th worst rebounding team in the NBA. The Chicago Bulls sit right at 15th in the NBA. So again, the Bulls are considerably better rebounding the ball than the Dallas Mavericks are, and they have to go after those misses and get the rebounds to get those Bulls extra possessions. And they have to defend that 3-point line as well. The Dallas Mavericks only average 12 turnovers per game as well, so they don't turn over the ball a whole hell of a lot. So the defense has to try to force them to inefficient shooting and get turnovers when they can play in those passing lanes. But this is a team that does protect the ball. They don't overpass, and when they do pass, they pass pretty effectively. Luka Doncic is a big part of that. And then when you look at the flip side of that, the defense, they're the 24th defense in the NBA. They average allowing 118 points per game. Keep in mind, they average 119 points per game. So there's only a 1-point differential in what they average versus what they allow. They also allow their opponents the 4th most rebounds per game in the NBA. They allow their opponents to get 45 rebounds per game, while they only get 42 rebounds themselves. Those are the areas that the Bulls need to focus at offensively. Rebounding the ball, especially if you can get those offensive rebounds and then attack their defense. This is a defense that doesn't have a whole heck of a lot. They have more rim protection since they added Daniel Gafford and things like that. And, of course, they have Derek Lively there when he's healthy. But this Bulls team needs to attack the Dallas Mavericks defense by doing those other things. Rebound the ball well, both offensively and defensively. This could be another game where Andre Drummond and Nikola Vucevic get double-doubles, but we need more than just rebounds from the bigs. We need a rebound as a team. Go after that, especially the momentum-changing rebounds, and then we need to play an efficient offense ourselves. The Dallas Mavericks aren't a good defense. They're a terrible defense in a lot of ways, and if the Bulls can do that, it's going to have to come via shooting well. They can get to the paint a lot against this team as well, but that's going to take half-court offense, and the Bulls are going to have to perform that half-court offense very well. So this is, like I said, this is a game where the Bulls can absolutely do some things against the Dallas Mavericks, despite the record, the difference between, despite the talent that they have on that team with Luka and Kyrie Irving. This is a team that can be beat, but the Bulls are going to have to come in with the game plan. They're going to have to execute that game plan well, and they're going to have to protect the ball and play as a team, both on offense and defense. And if they can do those things, the Bulls can get a win at home tonight against the Dallas Mavericks. And let's hope that they can, man. This is an important stretch for the Bulls. The Atlanta Hawks are right up on the Bulls. Now, they are, luckily, they did lose last night, so that put the Bulls' lead back over them to 2 games over the Atlanta Hawks, but the Bulls have to win as many games as possible to keep that separation there and close the gap a little bit. The Indiana Pacers also won last night, so they moved up from 8th to 7th while the Miami Heat lost. So, again, but just focus on the team below you that you don't want to pass you. You got to win your games regardless, and this is a game where the Bulls really got to mentally be prepared for this game, and the coaching staff has to have them prepared with the game plan, take advantage of the Dallas Mavericks' weaknesses. And if the Bulls do that, they can absolutely get a win. Let's see if they'll actually do it, though. All right, let's get into the voicemail back. I expected us to have a voicemail because of the Lonzo Ball news. Actually, Shay's the only one that called in, surprisingly, but let's go ahead and play this one from Shay now.
What's up, Paige? Look, I just heard that Lonzo Ball has been cleared for basketball activities, but I'm here to say frankly, I don't give a damn. Still file for that career-ending activity thing. Look, I'm happy for him. Hopefully, he'll be back to play basketball again. But Jesus Christ, we cannot take no risk, especially for this upcoming free agency. Please, let's just file that career-ending injury thing or whatever. But we give guys like Andre Drummond and Patrick Williams back, and hopefully get some good friends that can help us off the bench. Look, man, I'm sorry. I'm not willing to take no time because it could hurt Kobe and Io's development. Waiting on Lonzo Ball. Look, I understand he's a good player and all, but he's been out of the game basketball for two whole years. We ain't got time for it, man. Anyway, tell me what you think. Peace.
All right, so that you don't care and still fight. Like, there is some limitations on if they're gonna. Now I'll say this: if he's not cleared by the draft, you can't file. I mean, technically, you could file it anytime. The Bulls could file it now, technically. And then the independent doctor is going to review everything and make that determination. The only barrier in this isn't saying that Lonzo Ball can't make a comeback. The barrier is it more than likely than not he's not going to be able to return for the Chicago Bulls or return to a certain amount of games. I keep forgetting the game barrier there. But so that's what the NBA would be looking at to improve that career-ending injury exception. So there's a chance of that, right? And so I agree what you're saying with, right? And keep in mind, he was cleared for advanced rehab, not advanced basketball activities, which is the way that it was originally reported. So the Bulls got tough decisions to make, and that's kind of what I said over in the second segment of this episode. And, we'll see what the Bulls end up doing. And the thing that I think about this is, though, if you do get the career-ending injury exception for Lonzo and you file it, to me, you can't look at that to just say, let's just keep drumming in DeMar DeRozan. At that point, like, we know that this team needs some changes. It has to be more than that. And, you know, we'll see what the front office makes their decision and how they look at it and review it. But great voicemail, Shay. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you guys are following the show at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. And then lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, thanks to you guys. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.